This is Mondsteinflug, the Sailor Moon podcast where we talk about canon, fandom, and meta topics with our amazing guests.
Welcome to Mondsteinflug, one of the two best Sailor Moon podcasts in Germany. And today we are doing another episode of our Sailor Moon fandom histories mini-series. And again, it's with Tina Century and Flora One. Hi.
Hi.
And we are Meso and...
Rathi.
Yeah. So today we have a shorter time, a shorter episode, and a shorter number of years we're talking about. And I'll give it... Yeah, what happened last time? Maybe a very, very short one. You're probably listening to these in a row, but if you don't, we were talking about basically 2000 until 2011, and a lot of changes in platforms, a lot of purges, fandom migrations, and releases of Sailor Moon S and Super S in the US. And we had a lot to say about fandom, fanfiction, and fanfiction platforms. So this is where we left off. Yeah, and PGSM, which happened at that time too. I always have a lot to say about PGSM. So we basically left off singing the praises of AO3, and now we're in the year 2011. And Tina, yeah, what happens in 2011?
So basically, again, I feel like I know I have this caveat at the beginning of every episode, but I feel like it's necessary to say this again. So again, these eras of Sailor Moon fandom history that I have identified are based both on testimonials that I collected and on a timeline that I put together. So know that they're not necessarily, you know, the be-all end-all of this is exactly how the fandom history is viewed, but I think it's categorized fairly well, if I say so myself, modestly.
Yes, it's great to have a whole number of testimonials, but if I can just say this here, anyone who wants to come on the podcast and talk about their personal fandom history or has a new perspective to this, we are really happy to make this an ongoing thing. And we are also still looking for more guests who would like to do an episode in English with us. You can bring just your favorite topic. And yeah, we'll do that. I should have done that at the end of last episode, but I'm doing it now. Come talk to us.
I think that would be great.
And so, then we can have other countries maybe under other continents, other perspectives. Anyone's welcome.
Definitely. Yeah. So today's era, as Meso said, is a good bit shorter than the other ones, but it is very intentionally cut off this way for two main reasons. So today the title of the era is New Releases, A Big Announcement, and a Third Wave of Usamamo Fanfiction. So it's from about 2011 to 2013. Again, my fanfiction waves are specifically Usamamo fanfiction because that's what I know.
Yes.
And I don't feel like I'm enough of an authority on other Sailor Moon fanfiction, and especially also since most of the people I spoke to were Usamamo fanfic writers and readers. So we ended the last era around 2011 or so, and as Meso said, we had, you know, the purges and all of that. But honestly, the main kickoff for this era is twofold. So in 2011, Kodansha re-releases the new English manga in the US, so the new translation. And in May of 2011, Antigone 2 returns to writing Sailor Moon fanfiction for the first time since 2002. So yeah, if... Antigone, too, if you're listening, sorry, you're kind of a big part of this episode.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but it made me really happy to read that specific line.
Yeah. So basically, the way that she put it, let me get back to her quote on this. Hold on, let me just, here we go. Crap. One second. Okay. So Antigone 2 said, Sailor Failures on Tumblr and the release of the Sailor Moon Kodansha manga brought me roaring back into the Sailor Moon fandom. And so the reason that this era I have separated from the next era is kind of, there are a few reasons. So first, you've got, again, Antigone 2 is coming back, and that can be that ends up having a domino effect that can be traced down to what today I refer to as the fanfiction renaissance, which we get into more in the next episode. But basically just about every single fandom author in Usamamo fandom who is active today, including both Flora and myself, cite Antigone 2 as one of the reasons that they write. So I felt like it was important to Absolutely. Mention that.
Yeah, but funny enough, it was not for me, Antigone herself, but the Sailor Failures page she mentioned was what brought me on Tumblr too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that was the person who did the Forking Hell webcomic.
Okay, I'm
and
not familiar with that.
Lured us all on their Tumblr.
Okay, that's
good
to know.
I can 100% be traced to Antigone 2 writing, definitely. Her stories are why I'm here.
Yeah, and then a lot of people point that out. But one thing that I think is interesting is that so a lot of the people who write today, they cite both Antigone 2, but they also cite others, including Flora and Cassienda and a few others here and there. And what's interesting, though, is that you have a group of people in this era who were active and writing, but who are not around now. And yeah. I feel so this honestly, this era is really interesting to me because you've got people who were active, but it was before Crystal was actually released. Mm-hmm. But there's still this like wave of fan fiction. And I feel like there are a few reasons for it, right? So again, in 2011, you've got the re-release of the manga, which Antigone 2 specifically cites as the reason she came back to writing. In 2012, Toei announces that Sailor Moon Crystal is happening. So 2012 is the 20th anniversary of Sailor Moon. And that's when they announce, hey, this new iteration of it is
And a lot of merch is happening as well.
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting, though, is that so Crystal doesn't come out until 2014, but there's still this wave of fan fiction between 2011 and 2013. And there's some stuff there that people cite pretty frequently. So the biggest example that I see is most people are familiar with the work Quirks. And it's the author is, I can never pronounce her name, Viver. I don't really know. Anyway.
Yeah.
The point. Sure. So she is not active at all these days. You also have Pearl Prynne, who was active back then, Jet Wolf, Miss Commas and Ampersands, Jade Eye is a bit active then as well, Cat Brew, and Cassienda as well is active then. So you've got a handful of people who were active then, who are active now, but mostly you've got people who were active then, not really before then, and not really now either. Mm-hmm. So again, I feel like, so there could be a couple reasons for this. So again, the re-release of the manga, the announcement of Crystal, and the kind of wave of merch that comes with that. And then the other thing that occurred to me literally the other night was, so in 2011, I hate that I'm getting into this, but I'm about to, 50 Shades of Grey was released. And I think as most people know, 50 Shades was originally Twilight fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like at the time there was this greater conversation about fan fiction kind of in the general public, because 50 Shades was, at least in the US, I can't speak for Germany.
No,
but
it was definitely the case here too. I was reading fan fiction at the time, not because I liked 50 Shades of Grey at all, but because it had reminded me that fan fiction existed.
Yes, exactly. And I think that was the case for a lot of people, is that it was kind of like, oh yeah, this is a thing. And I will say specifically in my case, I have a lot of thoughts on 50 Shades of Grey. And one of them is, I remember when people would be like, oh, it's fan fiction. It's, you know,
It's bad. It's mischaracterized.
And my argument was always like, I read better fan fiction when I was 12 that did not get published. So what is this?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. And that's kind of the early Tumblr years. So again, Tumblr kind of surpasses LiveJournal in 2013, but it's climbing up until then. So honestly, this period is more a transition period than anything else. The other kind of big thing that happens. I mentioned this in the last episode, but in 2012 is when FF.net also does their adult content purge. And so, again, there's not much to this era in terms of specific topics to talk about, but some pretty big stuff happens that then directly leads to the next era, if that makes sense. In terms
yes,
of...
Yes, totally. Yeah. And actually, personally, I'm now starting to question my fandom activities, because I know I was writing more in that time, but it was more about connecting to other people who were also active. It was not so much about, yeah. I was certainly way too old to be interested in Twilight.
But a lot
teenagers
of...
Teenagers who are scared to sleep with their boyfriend, I stayed way clear of that. And yeah.
Yeah, but still, I think it was active because people were talking about it, yeah. About fan fiction as a whole. I haven't even read 50 Shades of Grey at that time yet. I would read it later and not like it very much. But it was in the discourse generally.
Right.
And it reminded me that, hey, fan fiction is something that I really enjoyed.
Right. Well, and I remember particularly reading, you know, some major publication's article about 50 Shades. I don't know if it was Time Magazine or something. And they were literally trying to explain the concept of an AU, because that's what 50 Shades is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I know what that is. Of course I know what that is. But okay. So it was just interesting that it was such a new concept to so many people.
Exactly. But lots of people around me were talking to me about fan fiction at that time, because they had read it and they were with it introduced to the concept of fan fiction, and they remembered that I had been writing it. So
yeah,
it was a general discussion, even if 50 Shades of Grey wasn't, fan fiction was.
Exactly. And I think... Sorry, I'm pulling up the, what's it called? The the word cloud from this. So, which is the smallest one by far. The other thing that also happens around this time, in 2013, Sarah Mew comes back for the first time since 2005.
Yes.
So I don't know how much that influence fic it might have. Unclear, to be honest.
I don't think so personally, but it does have... probably an influence also. I mean, it came out during the 20th anniversary as well, around that time. So I do think it hyped up and ramped up the Japanese scene in that way. The way I understand it, because if you, like, even seeing it between 2014, 2015, 2018 coming into the scene, 2014 was the height of merch. I've never seen as much merch about Sailor Moon in Japan than in that year. So it was really flooded with
the
merch.
Crystal release.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But generally, Japan is very fast living in its anime and merchandise. Like, things are, in its goods in general. In Japan, you have a lot of seasonal and a lot of limited edition goods, and a lot of random goods that come out with characters of upcoming movies. But then disappear from the shelves as soon as the movie is gone. So the way I've heard it from people before and after is that it was very silent in the Sailor Moon world in Japan as well, before this Kodansha re-release. A lot of course, there's this thing that internationally the rights were resting for Sailor Moon for a long time. So this internationally, this contributes to that too. But in Japan itself, especially because there was nothing new for a while, it had been forgotten for a little bit. And then it was yanked up for the 20th release with new Mew, with the Crystal announcement, with the new releases, and with merch starting to come back in until it would peak in 2014.
Can I have two quick thoughts about that?
Please.
Of course.
We haven't been talking about the rights being going back to Naoko Takeuchi and her really holding back new Sailor Moon stuff.
I don't know how much
for
that
a few
is...
years.
I've read a lot about it, to be honest, but the things that I do read about it are completely mixed. I think there is, especially earlier, there was a lot of ill intent towards Naoko Takeuchi, and why she held back, or if she did it intentionally or not. So since that is not clear, and especially
the only thing I heard is that she wanted more creative control.
Yes, but it does not make sense to hold it back completely. So I don't think we know the full story there. Mm. And I do think we know a lot of confabulation of people, yeah, angry or not angry, that put a lot of meaning to what was happening. Mm. So I'd be very careful on interpreting, yeah, that time where the rights were resting or not. But I mean,
but we see that any time new things come out, there are new fans discovering it. So it's an important thing to, yeah, know that for, absolutely, a few times we didn't have new things. And I had a second thought about Sera Mew, the musicals. Yeah, sure, it didn't bring more fan fiction, but it brought a lot of other fandom activity because my dashboard on Tumblr was full of it. So sharing it, discussing it, hyping it, loving it, telling everyone why this new musical is so good or why we love the new cast, that was a big thing. So it was just a lot of love for the new musical. And yeah, a lot of people are doing songs on YouTube, translating them. We have a lot of German songs on YouTube from the musicals. And that's also a fandom activity. So yeah, it didn't easily translate into fan fiction, but it translated into a lot of other creative and other approaches. Just talking about it is really nice.
And as we said last time, I do think PGSM and Mew is where the fandom broke off a little bit, where we have niche fandom pockets for Mew and PGSM.
Mm.
So I think that's very interesting as well. Like,
I don't know if the Sera Mew people have their own pocket. They are very lonely on Tumblr, but maybe it's better on YouTube. I think they have a bit better feedback and more of an audience on YouTube, because it is about the music, and of course you can do more in a video when you want to make it about music.
True.
Yeah. I think one other thing. Specifically, so I know what we've talked about in kind of the other waves of Usamamo fanfiction is kind of themes. And I would say one thing that comes up here is that the Japanese names start becoming more common. Not as common as they are today.
I'm really excited about all the new things that will come up now, because we've been talking about this in the last episode, and I really need to know what new things were coming up.
Yeah, I've got more of it for the next episode, but it is interesting if you look at some of the work from this time. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more of Japanese names, and mm-hmm, I mean, imagine at least in the North American sense, part of that is probably because the manga now use the Japanese names instead of Bunny and Darien. So I think that's probably part of it. And
so they created
it's just interesting.
A new canon.
Yeah, and what's interesting to me, not all of them use. I think Quirks actually uses dub names. I'm not 100% sure though. I haven't read it in some time, mainly because it's unfinished. And yeah, if you're listening, please finish that one. Anyway, kidding. Anyway, so yeah, I think what's really interesting to me about this era is that there's not that much, but what is there is fucking amazing. Like, I don't know, it's like pro print stuff to me is wonderful. Of course, you know, Antigone 2 stuff is consistently great, but you've got some of Cassiano's most popular works are around 2013 as well. So yeah, and Quirks, I feel like everybody in the fandom knows Quirks and refers to it, but that was before any of this current wave that we're in. So it's just, I find this era to be the most interesting and the one that I have the least information about, but enough information to make it its own era, if that makes sense.
I think what's funny about, like, well, interesting about Fix like Quirks is if you watch it in terms of, I agree. I think it's one of the ones that everyone knows. I've not met a fan that I've chatted to for a while about fanfiction that did not cite or know Quirks. And yet, when you look at it, I think it's a different, it's a complete shift in our direction in terms of reception, in terms of style, in terms of the way they handled it. Like, I mean, it has 13 chapters. It's roughly 80,000 words. It has around 350 reviews and 650 fans. So it's right there in what we are now used to being the smaller kind of reception for fan fiction in that way.
Well, that's, I don't think 300 reviews is small.
No. But for a fic that's 10 years old.
Fair. Yeah.
That's on 13 chapters. That's not a lot of reviews for a fic that everyone knows.
I mean, I guess. I mean, I think that it, I mean, I don't know how many people actually will go back. And so say if you came back to the fandom in 2018, you see that something hasn't been updated since 2013. I don't know how many people would necessarily go back and do it.
To things that came before that, say, subject to change, that changed a lot of, that happened a lot of time earlier, that's also not finished. That has hundreds and hundreds of reviews asking her to come back. The swords. In comparison, for an unfinished fic that's 10 years old, that's a different kind of dynamic, and that's the closer dynamic that we have here. That's still a lot of reviews, and that's still a lot of fans, God forbid.
Right.
But I think in terms of everything, it shifts, especially for such a well-known fic, in the direction of what we have today. A smaller kind of fandom with very dedicated authors with crazy, crazy quality writing that have a very tight group of people they're writing for.
Yeah, well, interesting. I mean, I remember going back and, because like I said, I think in episode one, I would go back occasionally and read fic, even when I wasn't really involved in the fandom at all. And I read Quirks probably around 2013 or so. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I never, I wasn't somebody who reviewed things back then. I didn't review until 2018. So yeah, it is interesting that it doesn't have much attention. And I don't know why, for example, that one doesn't have as many as say some of Jedi's stuff. I have no idea. That's a great question. I've not read most of that stuff, so I don't know. But yeah, so again, this era, like I said, is kind of transitional in that I don't have much else on it, but it very much sets the stage for the next era, which is, you know, Crystal and the Usamamo fanfiction renaissance, which is 2014 to now. And there's a lot to say about that, but again, the things that happen in 2011 to 2013, the new releases, the announcement of Crystal, the 20th anniversary, and Antigone 2 coming back, all of that very much sets the stage for what comes next.
Mm.
So give us a quick preview.
Sure. Yeah. So on the next episode, again, so it's Sailor Moon Crystal and the Usamamo fanfiction renaissance. So it's 2014 to present. And we will talk about kind of broad themes for next episode are literally Sailor Moon Crystal and the new North American dubs. So we get into Viz and all of their kind of new rights and the new English dub. Some kind of broader things that happen within the fandom, both in Japan and outside of Japan. And then the Usamamo fanfiction renaissance, where we will hear about basically the writers who are active today, their kind of origin stories and a little bit of the culture of fic today and how the Tumblr community interacts today. And essentially kind of comparing, I think there's a lot of comparison to the early stuff that we talked about in the second episode and the stuff that's going on today.
Amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you guys again. I'm glad that we were able to get through this one.
It's been a pleasure, and even if it's this a shorter era and a shorter episode, it is an important one for me personally, so I'm really happy we did that. Yeah, the extra attention on that episode.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm glad we did too.
I wanted to fold it into the next episode, but now I'm glad we didn't.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't too.
Yeah.
So, because there's a lot to say for the next one. I have a few
things to say to the German version of Crystal next time.
Yeah, no, I'd love to hear about that too. So that would be great.
And we can have more comparisons. I didn't have much to say about the German version manga this time, except that it was very good. But the other one, the old one, wasn't bad either. We got number 18 this time, which was...
We did before too, but it was just a very limited. You couldn't get it about 3 months after it was released, so you had to get it directly.
It was printed in... just not many of them were printed, and...
sold out quickly.
My comic book dealer didn't even get it in, so I didn't have it. But now, with a new manga edition, I am complete for the first time. I read the Sailor V manga for the first time with a new edition. So the new edition is pretty good because of that. The short stories, we've done episodes about those. Really like those, so yeah.
Ah, one thing with the... I just noticed something because you're talking about the German manga. How do you pronounce?
Manga. Doesn't matter.
About the German manga. I think sometimes it was translated out of the American ones.
No. Wait. No. It wasn't.
Something
It was actually, we had what we used were the French version. So it had the original manga here as well as the mixed manga did it too, I think. They had it mirrored.
The first edition were mirrored, and the new ones are in the Japanese direction.
Yeah. But
same
exactly.
Here.
Yeah.
But they were still translated from the Japanese.
Mm.
Yeah.
And there were a few small changes that I love to discuss, but not right now.
No, that's fine. And I'm not super familiar with the English manga release from that time. So I know the one from way back in the early 2000s, and I'm now getting acquainted with the Eternal editions, but I don't know as much on the middle, on the kind of the middle release there.
Okay, Rusty has actually brought out the original manga.
The first.
But isn't that the wrong timeline? That's not 2013.
When did the first German
English? I don't know about the German ones. I know the English one was re-released in 2011. I don't know about the German one.
Hmm.
I think we were a few years later with Crystal.
The new one, the old ones.
Pretty sure we did a few manga episodes where we've talked about the translation.
Because the first two of the old ones are translated out of the American, because in the end there's like translation out of the American.
And I think
the third one was done from the French one.
Okay.
And I haven't looked up the other ones. That's for the old manga.
The new ones are definitely from Japanese.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're better in translation wise.
I know that at least for the English ones, there are a lot of people who are quite happy about the Japanese translations for this round, with the Eternal ones at least. I couldn't speak for the ones in the middle. So, I mean. And it's interesting, the Eternal editions have these notes in the back where they talk about the different, like, they have translation notes and culture notes and stuff. But I don't think those came out until 2017. No. So
definitely. That's next era.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then, where can you be found? Where do you want to be found, both of you?
So,
Tina.
Yep. So I can be found on AO3, Tumblr, and fanfiction.net at Tina Century. I write Usamamo fanfiction. I post things occasionally that may or may not be interesting to people. But yeah, I'm happy to chat anytime. So feel free to reach out. And thank you.
And thank you so much for providing all this information and
You're welcome.
Devoting your time to fandom history on the podcast.
It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. So thank you again for having me.
It's been a lot of fun. And Flora?
Yeah, you can find me as well on all these three platforms, on AO3, on Tumblr, and on fanfiction.net. And I'm on it everywhere under the pen name Flora1.
Yeah, and you find our podcast on mesomondstein.tumblr.com, where you can also drop us a message, especially if you want to come on the podcast. But yeah, we're also...
If you want to be a guest on the podcast, I think if you want to come on the podcast,
both,
that's different.
We make it possible. The sky is the limit. I will not exclude any content for now. We've already had episodes where Rusty noped right out.
Yeah, that is very true.
So I'll keep an open mind and wait for suggestions. Okay, so until next time, bye.
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 That was Mondsteinflug. Do you have comments?
Questions?
A topic you want to suggest?
Do you want to come on our podcast?
And talk about your favorite Sailor Moon things?
Leave us a message on mesomondstein.tumblr.com.
That is mesomondstein.tumblr.com.
This is a podcast under a Creative Commons license.
With no commercial use whatsoever.
Thanks for listening. Until next time.